I'm Bridie Cruz. Today on this special edition of Undivided, a deep dive into the lies and concealment around Governor Jay Inslee's carbon tax and the road to repeal it. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Hello and welcome to this truncated edition of Undivided. Merry Christmas to all of you. If you're short on time during the holidays, but you don't want to be short on information, this week of shows is absolutely right up your alley. We thought instead of canceling shows between the holidays, we've got an important legislative session coming up. Let's touch on a key issue every day this week that will get you ready for the legislative session. Today, we want to focus on the Climate Commitment Act and the fate of Governor Jay Inslee's precious Climate Commitment Act. To start, we'll go back to 2021 when the CCA was first passed.
Today, we are not just making a commitment, we are actually taking action. We are giving people not just promises, but what they deserve. Meat on the bone against climate change.
So one of the key parts of the CCA are the auctions of carbon emission credits that polluters must buy. And over time, the number of those available carbon emission credits to auction off will decline. But the problem with auctioning off carbon credits is, at least for gas and oil companies, they're going to pass those costs along to you and I. I mean, that's just economics 101. In fact, early on, Todd Myers with the Washington Policy Center warned that the CCA and the carbon credit auctions could increase prices at the pump by nearly 50 cents. But when asked all last year whether he thought the Climate Commitment Act and the carbon auctions would increase prices at the pump for you and I...
That's not true. They are not going to see much higher gas prices, maybe even lower than they are today. It's going to have minimal impact, if any, pennies. We're talking about pennies. Potentially.
Either he was misinformed or he flat out lied. Either way, Washingtonians were hit with higher prices at the pump. And it turned out, in fact, that Todd Myers' estimate of around 46 cents per gallon was almost exactly right. As the CCA continued to impact gas prices into the summer, as we all expected that it would, Washington State hit an unfortunate milestone for the first time ever in our state's history. We had the highest gas prices in the nation. But even then, Governor Jay Inslee found other things to blame it on.
They're not just passing it on. They're padding their pockets with this. And that's what's outrageous. They haven't just increased their numbers because of the cap and trade, which, by the way, have always been high in the Northwest because we are kind of an island of supply.
Inslee also pledged to push legislation that would force gas and oil companies to be more transparent in their pricing, which was, of course, just a distracty, shiny object. And also, it was very hypocritical because at the exact same time that Governor Jay Inslee was saying we need to force gas and oil companies to be more transparent about their pricing, the Attorney General's office was advising the State Utility and Transportation's Commission to hide from you the fact that the Climate Commitment Act was raising the cost of your utility bills. So all of that was going on. It was bad enough. You had the lies, you had the concealment, you had the impact to working class families, and then the piece de resistance. A report from the King Five investigators focusing on a whistleblower whose job it was to forecast gas prices for the state of Washington, who claimed he was told to stay quiet about his own prediction that the Climate Commitment Act would increase prices at the pump.
Scott Smith's analysis found cap and trade would create a noticeable hike on gas prices. His estimate, 45 to 50 cents a gallon. In a legal complaint filed today against WSDOT and the governor's office, he alleges his boss told him to keep that quiet. Management would prefer he not include cap and trade surcharges in his quarterly report.
I wouldn't do it because it just wasn't right. I've never had anyone tell me to jimmy the numbers, to come up with some artificial number. Never.
Smith put the predicted increases in his report anyway, and his complaint alleges the retaliation was swift and ugly from there.
So just when you thought, man, things cannot get worse for Governor Jay Inslee and the Climate Commitment Act, well then, an initiative to repeal key aspects of the CCA started to gain momentum, and on November 21st, Let's Go Washington turned in more than 400,000 signatures in an effort to do just that. So with all that going on, Governor Jay Inslee was on the defensive, and just a few weeks ago, he held a press conference that was supposed to be a budget preview, but it really came across as some sort of campaign event meant to shift public opinion around the CCA. But I gotta say, I honestly think it had the opposite of the intended impact, because Governor Inslee deflected, refused to answer legitimate questions about the impact that the CCA continues to have on working class people.
What do you say to the people who really want to back that, believing that you are taxing the people who can least afford it with this, and the oil companies are passing on this tax to the consumer? What argument would you address, in your words, to those people who really want to back that initiative to repeal the CCA?
Well, let me show you, instead of telling you, let me show you what I would say to those people.
That's a pretty good question. What would I say to those people who want to allow the oil and gas industry to pollute to their heart's content for as many years as they want, and put their toxic gases into the atmosphere of the state of Washington? What would I say to them? What I would say to them is these kids, when they're 72 years of age, like I am, will have a Washington state where there's some trees that haven't burned down, where they can breathe because forest fire smoke is not ruining their lungs, where their mom and dad got a little help financially with their utility bills, where they can drive, get to on a school bus that's electric and drive for free. What I would say to them is these kids deserve those things.
So, with the Climate Commitment Act's fate hanging in the balance, that brings us to the current legislative session that's going to start in just a few days. There are a few things that can happen, and the initiative is an important part of this. When the initiative goes to the legislature can only do a few things. The legislature can adopt it and say, okay, we're going to listen to these people and we're going to repeal these portions of the Climate Commitment Act, which include this carbon trading auctions and the offsets that has led to the increased prices at the pump. Democrats are not going to do that. So let's just take that off the table. So there are two options left. Lawmakers can completely ignore it. They can just pretend the initiative isn't there and it doesn't exist. And in that case, it goes to you and I, the voters, to vote on in November of 2024, when there's going to be a lot of other things on the ballot as well. And look, I think that if it does eventually, and that's the outcome, it goes to voters in 2024, voters will probably pass it. They will probably repeal these key aspects of the CCA. Because if it comes down to prices at the pump and to increase prices, that's just simply not popular. And I think Democrats know that, and that's kind of why there's this panic setting in. Now, there is a third option. And the third option is that lawmakers could craft some sort of alternative or competing initiative, so to speak, and then they would both go to voters in November of next year. And that's actually something that State Senator Mark Mullett is trying to do. He's a moderate Democrat. He's running for governor. He did support the CCA. He voted for it. But he has since said that, look, there are some issues with it. And so he's trying to craft some fixes to it that would fix the auctions so that the prices don't go up so high as a result. And it would also increase transparency. There would also be some rebates for folks to help pay for their car tabs. So a little bit of offset there. But even if he's successful in getting that through this legislative session, it would probably then have to go to voters alongside a full-blown repeal of those aspects of the Climate Commitment Act. So that's really up to the legislature to work out what it wants to do with the initiative. But in the meantime, two things for sure are going to happen. Number one, Democrats and progressive aligned groups are going to spend millions of dollars between now and November of 2024 to convince you that if you vote to repeal the CCA, you hate the environment. So you can expect a lot of that, a lot of ads, a lot of mailers, etc. The second thing that is absolutely going to happen is that the Climate Commitment Act is going to make gas prices even worse than what we saw in 2023. And I would go back to Todd Myers of the Washington Policy Center, who again was spot on in his predictions about what would happen in 2023. And now he's predicting what's going to happen in 2024. And this has to do with the reduction in carbon emission credits that's built into the law. So remember, fewer of those credits are going to be available at auction as time goes on. The idea being that as fewer credits are available, some of these companies are going to have to come up with alternatives and they're not going to be able to pollute as much. However, when you reduce the number of allowances, in this case in 2024, the allowances for auction will decrease by 7.5%. That is likely to push the prices up unless Todd says there's some sort of massive drop off in consumer demand. So as a result, the Climate Commitment Act will continue to impact Washingtonians at the gas pump for the entirety of 2024. And for Democrats, that's not really a good thing, because come November, when Washington voters get a chance to decide whether to repeal it, I think it makes it much more likely that they will. All right, that has been it for today's shortened edition of Undivided Legislative Session, edition number one. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about public safety issues that are going to come up when the legislature convenes at the beginning of January. Today's episode was brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. If you have not signed up to support our show already, remember you can do that at undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com for just $5 a month.